Hey, it's Brian. Georgetown University. What do you think of when I say that name? For me, I think of one of the best schools in the nation. Likely a school I wouldn't have been able to get into. But now, it's also one of the most approachable schools in the nation for those of you considering your master's. Georgetown offers a part-time master's in sports industry management that prepares you to excel in the global sports industry. The program is ideal for working professionals, offering flexible options to take classes online, on campus, or through a combination of both. So you don't have to interrupt your career to earn your degree. You will leave the program with the communication, business, and leadership strategies that position you for success. To learn more about the program, visit scs.georgetown.edu/workinsports. One more time, scs.georgetown.edu/workinsports. Check it out today and see if it's a match for your career goals. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. As I've admitted many times on this podcast, I am not a natural networker. It is not my comfort zone. I am not the type that will walk up to someone I don't know and engage in conversation with ease. I wish I was. I seriously watch other people who just do it so easily, and I admire them, and I think they're cool. I am not cool. Oftentimes, getting out of your comfort zone is essential to growth, and I like growth. I am a curious person who likes to learn and challenge myself. So last week's National Sports Forum with 1,000 people deeply connected to the sports industry was somewhere I needed to be. But I was feeling both anxious and cowardly leading up to the event. You see, we all tell ourselves a story in our head that is loud. It echoes. It has power and weight. We tell ourselves things like, I don't know, these people won't want to talk to me, or they'll find me uninteresting, or I'll struggle with relevant things to say. Even deeper, we tell ourselves, I'll never get that job, or I'll never lose that weight, or I'll never be able to speak in a crowd. We tell ourselves these stories that aren't rooted in truth, but they become true in our mind because we bounce them around so often. Boy, do we have a lot of voices in our heads. So ask yourself the next time you feel this happening, you know, ask yourself, is this self-doubt helping me? Is it pushing me forward? Is it assisting me in any way, shape, or form? It's not. So push it aside. I tried really hard this last week at the National Sports Forum. I talked to a lot of people. And you know what? It all worked out fine every single time. In fact, it worked out great. I broke out of my comfort zone last week. In fact, today's guest was one of the first people who helped me do it. Minnesota Twins new business development manager Brian VandenBosch said hi to me in the line for food the first night of the conference. Boy, that was hard, right? We struck up a conversation. He's an awesome guy with tons of sports career experience. So we shared a few sliders at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and booked a podcast interview. We talked last week and it was awesome. He's a genius when it comes to this stuff. So getting into his world and learning and meeting him, I loved that part. It's that initial part that you tell yourself, it's hard to kind of broach and say hi and get in with somebody. And I tell you, it's a skill. And sometimes you just have to keep working at it. And I say to all of you that I will continue to work at it. And so will all of you, I hope. So let's get to it. Brian is an expert at building relationships in the sports industry, and he's here to share his world in baseball with the Minnesota Twins. Here is Brian VandenBosch. Hi, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Brian. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. We were just talking before we got started here that you're dealing with about 10-degree weather in Minnesota. So thanks for coming inside, taking a little time to talk about your career and all the things that you've gone through.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to help out in any way. And yes, we are experiencing a little bit of cold, but it's actually supposed to be in the 30s next week. So we'll be in jeans and a t-shirt by then.
Heat wave. So I was looking through your background and your resume and all the things you've done. For the last 10 years since you graduated from Valparaiso, you've worked for a number of teams in various leagues, and we'll get into all that. But I'm curious first, your roles have all been connected to revenue generation. You're an account executive, you worked in inside sales, premium hospitality, you're in new business now. What led you in this direction? How did you kind of figure out this was where you were going to fit into the sports industry?
It all started back in my internships in minor league baseball. After I did a rotational internship in the minor leagues, I had an inkling for the sales. It sort of came naturally to me. I've been a natural storyteller and you know, not really selling stuff throughout my life, but just in the way I interacted with others, I felt like I fit into a role of that nature. In terms of revenue generation, I never really thought about it. The only thing that came to my mind was I realized, okay, what's the most important thing in terms of the sales business? And it's the only way to grow is through revenue generation. And so that's kind of what intrigued me to these kind of roles. I was pretty naive coming out of college. No one really pointed me in the right direction. So I just saw that the most available jobs were in inside sales or in revenue generation role. And so naturally just figured that was the natural path to go to.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. You said something there that really stuck out to me. You said you were a natural storyteller. And I hear that and I naturally think of, you know, content jobs, journalism type jobs, you know, the on-air type roles or whatever. But you related that to sales in a way. Why is storytelling an important part, or being, I mean, maybe it's just your ability to connect with people. Why is that important in these sales type roles?
You know, a lot of times these sales reps, they get a bad rap, right? There's that stereotype between just the general salesperson and your car dealership salesperson. And some of the interactions I had, my high school jobs revolved around personal interactions. I was a cashier. I was a loader at retail stores. So I was always interacting with people. And while it wasn't something I thought would be a part of my future, I realized that I was just natural at having a conversation with individuals and knew I wanted to work in sports. So that was, I gravitated towards a role in that nature, but not really anything that I translated immediately into, yes, this is why I want to work in sports and why I want to do sales. Looking back is when the realization came to fruition to me.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, though. It's a relationship business. So if you're able to connect with people on that level, I can see why you've been successful. So let's talk about those first two roles. You alluded to them a little bit, your internships. And we've often talked on this show about how jobs in minor league, or in your case, independent league baseball, are really great training grounds. You do a little bit of everything. You said it was a rotation that you had. Explain that experience. Talk about what it was like when you worked with the Gary South Shore Railcats and the Lake County Fielders.
Absolutely. I became really lucky in the sense I was actually doing an internship at Valparaiso University with the baseball team there. I happened to randomly meet an individual at an event and who we struck up a conversation, and I let him know I really wanted to get into minor league baseball, and he just so happened to be a season ticket holder with the team. He said, send me your resume. I did so, and then he got me an interview, and the rest, you know, I had to sell myself. But really felt lucky in that getting into a role like that. With the Railcats, I actually was fortunate enough to do a rotational internship. And a lot of people looking to get in the sports industry, they're looking to immediately jump into a big league organization or a big league team, one of the big four sports, but yet they don't know exactly what they want to do long term. And so I get asked that a lot. And I always suggest to people, find an organization maybe that you can dip your hand into all different facets of the organization. Go to a college team, college athletic department. You're going to work in more roles. You're going to wear more hats than you will at a major league organization. And so on that rotational internship, I got to work in the merchandise department. I got to work as a mascot coordinator, work in the box office, work in actual ticket sales and corporate partnerships, and in marketing. So we spent a couple of weeks in each of those departments, and the whole time I wanted to be in marketing and promotional. I like the stereotype of marketing and promotions in minor league sports. I saw all those wacky promotions growing up, and I was like,
right.
I feel very creative and would love to add to that for an organization, but sales just came so naturally to me that I realized, okay, this could be the path that I want to go down.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I love what you're saying there about getting that experience in a lower league and getting to do so many things is an important foundational step for people that want to work in the sports industry. After the independent league, you joined the Chicago Sky of the WNBA as an account executive. What was the biggest kind of eye-opening moment for you as you grew from, you know, the small independent league baseball to a big city pro sports team?
Yeah, I think the first thing was the money factor, and it wasn't even like it was a lot of money either, but my internship was virtually unpaid outside of mileage. And then I did an inside sales role where I was making minimum wage on an hourly basis and barely any commission. So just having the stability to be, I was lucky enough to be in a role where it was salaried with commission and bonuses. So just seeing that amount of money, even though it wasn't a lot at the time, just that stability, I felt a lot more comfortable. But with that, I knew there also came more responsibility and being given goals on a monthly and a yearly basis, and ultimately being given the freedom to run my own business, which is something I instill in our reps to this day. And one of the things I think, I'm not saying it was a great benefit, and I don't suggest other organizations doing it, or you find an organization that does this, but I was kind of just thrown into the fire. I got about 2 hours of training on product knowledge, and they're like, just start calling people. Wow. There was really a lack of training, and it was sort of a sink or swim mentality. Now, I'm the type of person who has sort of a personality that works for me, and I'm fortunate enough, but I realize I'm in the minority in that aspect. That doesn't work, especially in this day and age, and people need, not necessarily hand-holding, but they need a little bit more guidance before starting out, especially in their first real world job.
You definitely see, I mean, that's interesting, and that is, I would totally agree that it's probably a better setup for there to be more training versus just throwing somebody in, but I'm glad that your personality kind of thrived in that environment. You see a lot of terms or job titles for entry-level sales jobs. You see inside sales, you see account executive, you see some of these different kind of terms. Can you help us understand a little bit, account executive, what does that mean when you were with this guy? What exactly was expected of you? You talked about your goals and things of that nature. Get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. Share with us what your day-to-day was like and what the expectations were with that role.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it's a revenue producing role. So you're judged on the revenue that you bring in, your monetary goals. But secondarily, other teams refer to it as hustle metrics or just your overall output and activity throughout the day. So making as many calls as possible. There was we had to make 80 calls at first on a daily basis, along with your emails and anything else you would do inside the office. One of the things that I came to a realization is I did not like sitting at a desk. I did not like making the calls. I did it, but I started thinking, what else can I do to go above and beyond? You know, a lot of reps, when they start out, they do exactly what's asked of them, but that's really where it stops. And so I figured out that in order to get more sales and grow my network and grow my business, the list I was given was not going to buy for me. I knew that, but I was making the calls anyway. So I knew I had to join a chamber of commerce and go out to different networking events to meet people, grow my business, and you know, it doesn't hurt that they give you free food and drink at those events either.
I love that. See, not just taking what's assigned to you, but actually taking a moment and saying, okay, what can I do to kind of bump this up a little bit? And clearly it worked because you were prolific with this guy. Multiple sales awards. You were beating your yearly sales goals with months to spare. In fact, I read that in 1 month, you led the entire WNBA in new ticket revenue. So at this time, what did you think you were learning about sales and how to connect with potential buyers? And what was it that was working for you so well?
I think it's really threefold. One is, how do you prospect and grow your own book of business? And that stems from my networking and going out and just growing your business. And from that, based on how you treat either people that you interact with or people that actually do buy from you, is gaining those referrals and constantly seeking out referrals based off the service that you provide. I had a mantra that I treated every single person as if they were actively a season ticket holder or were going to be my next season ticket holder. So at each of our games, I made sure to, no matter what, make sure I saw every single fan that bought a ticket from me, whether it was an individual game buyer, whether it was a group buyer, whether it was a current season ticket holder. So if you came to all 17 games of the WNBA, I made sure to stop by you at your seat all 17 games. I felt like I was on the court for 48 minutes with the players by the time and being drenched in sweat at the end of the game. But after my first year, the number of referrals I got based off of the way I took care of my clientele and the fans, I think spoke for the effort that was put forth.
See, I love that you're sharing this because so often people, because I tell it all the time, I speak in different college campuses and I tell everyone 50% of the jobs in the sports industry are connected to the sales. And you see everybody kind of roll their eyes at you. And I'm like, no, trust me, these are really good jobs with high ceilings. It's not just, yes, you have to dial the phone, you have to talk to people on the phone, but you're talking about building relationships. You're talking about connecting with people, and that makes a huge impact. Is that the mentality you need to bring to it, going outside of just, okay, I'm supposed to dial 80 times today?
Yes, I tell my reps here with the Twins and before with the Sky and everywhere I've been that don't just expect everything to be given to you. I think that's one of the things that I came into sales with, is not just expecting anything to be given to me, and knowing that you have to work for everything on your own. In terms of, you know, kind of getting those referrals, it just came to, how would you like to be treated if you were a customer? What would you do that would make you say, wow, I want to come back, whether or not the team was winning or losing? We had my first two seasons in the WNBA, we had a losing team, a team that had never even been to the playoffs, and yet my renewal numbers were far exceeded expectations because I feel the way that I took care of the fans.
So in addition to your role with the Sky, you also became part of the premium hospitality team with the Chicago Bears. You're a Chicago guy. Was it hard working for your various hometown teams, or was it a kind of a dream come true? I always wonder how that conflict would work for people.
Sure. I think, and we run into this all the time with people, you know, especially now with the Twins, we get people that come in here and say they're big fans of the team. And I think as a respectable salesperson, sometimes you need to put your fandom to the side. You have to be able to not rely on the team's performance on the field and talk about the benefits of coming to the game, the experience itself. When it came to the Sky and the Bears, you know, I didn't grow up as a diehard fan of either team. The Bears, there wasn't much to root for in the 90s and early 2000s. So there weren't a lot of great years of success there. So, I had other teams that I had rooted for extensively as a young child, but I wouldn't consider a dream come true necessarily because they weren't my main teams growing up. It was certainly cool working for the teams and being in an awesome environment like that. But at the end of the day, my goal is to provide the best customer service possible to ultimately help the organization. And that's sort of the mentality I had, regardless of what team I'm working for.
You talked about the different techniques you use to help build these relationships with people and get your renewal rate high and make people feel a part of the environment and the community and the culture. And I love that. How have things changed now? Are things different at all? Like, is there more people selling using social media tools? Are there other kind of advanced technologies people are using? Or is this still a relationship game?
It's very much a relationship game. Now in my role, my team unfortunately doesn't have the ability, the way the Twins are structured. You know, when we bring in new fans, we onboard them to our sales service team. So there's a less of an opportunity to build relationships, but we still encourage our reps to go out to networking events and get referrals from people that have recently joined our season ticket family. But overall, it's still, I would say, about 50-50. You know, the phone is never going to go away, making, you know, sales and calls over the phone. But you do have to meet people in person. You do have to go out to networking events. There, you know, there is a way to contact people on LinkedIn or through social media. A lot of teams are doing a much better job at social selling, whether it's searching up fans on, you know, who respond or interact with the team on social media and just going above and beyond what's expected of you to find random people out there who might not know about what we have to offer. A lot of people assume that when you say season tickets, they're like every game. That's the old stigma of season tickets, but it's far from that now in this day and age.
So for the last year, you've been with the Minnesota Twins. You're the new business development manager. You were managing a team, and I know you did that also with Chicago Sky. What were some of the big things you learned jumping from being an account executive or somebody where you were in control of your own goals and reaching for those things and being an individual contributor? How much did that change? And what were some of the big things you learned when you jumped into managing people now?
The first thing I realized was I was not ready for it. to be frank, I kept asking, you know, much like people now, much like new reps nowadays, they expect that, okay, if I hit my goals, I'm going to make it to the next level no matter what. And I didn't realize what all encompassed being a manager was. I just wanted the job title, much like people do in this day and age. And so I asked for a promotion after I hit my goal, especially in year two, and was given that opportunity. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't trained on how to manage. I never got any training in that. So I was constantly learning and trying to develop my own craft just based on reaction and what I was seeing in front of me. So it took a while. I interviewed for other jobs outside of the Sky, and frankly, I wasn't ready to move up to an organization, you know, like the Twins or a larger organization, because I didn't have the right experience. Year one, I focused all my energy on managing, but I was also required to sell. And so my entire team hit their goal, and I missed my goal very, very badly because I focused too much of my time managing. Year two, I focused more time on selling, ended up hitting my revenue generation goals, but my team in the end missed our goals in the regular season. And so it wasn't until like year four or five that I kind of put it all together and understood from a time management standpoint the right balance that you have to have.
Yeah, that's really interesting because that is a tough thing. I mean, you're evaluating staff, you're motivating staff, you're setting their goals, you're holding them accountable. And next thing you know, it's like all the time's gone. As you got to that point, though, as you got that 4 year in, what did you kind of learn were the essential qualities and skills? You knew yourself, you knew what made you tick, you knew how to motivate mm-hmm. yourself. But what did you learn about other people and getting them in line and getting them thriving in their revenue generating roles? Are there any special or patterns you noticed, like these attributes tend to work really well for people in sales roles?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the first things I always try to find out is what motivates people. And you get a wide array of answers. Ultimately, one of them has to be self-motivation. There's only so much I don't want to be in an environment where I have to look over your shoulder or anyone has to look over my shoulder in order to do the job, right? There has to be some trust factor there, and that stems from self-motivation. You're not going to have people next to you dialing the phones for you. You actually have to do it yourself. The three main things I've noticed with reps and successful reps that I look for, one is passion. And when I say passion, I do not mean a passion for sports. This is one of the things that really gets me going is every single person that wants to work in sports, they always talk about how passionate they are about sports. That actually doesn't matter to us. We have people actually in our organization that aren't really fans of baseball. They knew they wanted to do sales and they like doing it, so they sell the team and the product they have to give. But ultimately, you have to have a passion for sales itself. You know, you have to enjoy the creating relationships, the thrill of closing a sale, the thrill of the chase, and be able to live with the ups and downs and the constant no's that you're going to receive. That's ultimately what I look for. Secondarily would be kind of coachability and understanding that you don't have all the answers. I know I don't have all the answers. I'm constantly looking for advice from my superiors and our leadership team to pass on to the next generation of sellers. But being understanding of try this out, figure out what works best for you, but know that you don't have all the answers and that we're there to guide you and help you. I'm not trying to create seven other me's on my team. Everybody has to sell differently, but if we notice something that it doesn't work or hasn't worked in the past, try to steer you away from it and try to steer you in the right direction. And then finally, ultimately, in any sales role, you need to have persistence, right? Not everybody's going to say yes. Not everybody's going to say yes on the first call either. And so how your follow-ups are and being able to take a no answer and still work with the individual to figure out why it's a no and how we can turn that into a yes, I think that if you're persistent and you drive in that manner, then you're going to have a lot of success.
I love those terms. I love the way you phrase that. And I really think coachability is such an we don't talk about it enough. Like when I was managing more staff, like having someone who wanted to learn and was open to learning and knew they didn't know everything, you loved interacting with that person because you knew that they just wanted to improve. And I love that. I love that you highlighted that. So I have to ask, I've had a lot of friends that have worked in baseball. I have a lot of friends that have jumped in and out and from different sports and had a little time in baseball. How much more difficult is it with such a long season, a large stadium, many, many home games? Is that a daunting challenge or is that something, because it sounds to me like you're a pretty competitive person and you like to take these things on and you like that challenge. Is that true? Is that a daunting thing or is it an exciting thing?
Well, you know, it quite frankly, it helps when your team wins 101 games on the field.
It hits
the
most home runs
in history. That doesn't hurt having fun during the season either. So I can't speak to what a losing season at this level is like. But in my current role as opposed to pass roles, I actually find it a lot easier being able to focus solely on the management side of things rather than the actual selling. Now, there are certainly days where I miss getting on the phones and I actually miss closing a sale, but I get that enthusiasm and appreciation through my reps when they bring in revenue on their end. Luckily, you know, the Twins are huge advocates of a work-life balance. That's one of the things that was stressed upon me when I got here and I saw firsthand. So including day games, I would say I probably worked about 30 full games last year, which isn't drastically more than the 20 I was working with the Sky every year. So and we make sure that people aren't working extended hours, that they're not really overexerting themselves. You know, you get the rep in their first year that wants to stay and watch every game, and it's like, you need to go home, right? You don't want to get burnt out by the end of the year because it's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
I have a 12-year-old daughter who's a huge WNBA fan, loves the game, but she isn't into baseball at all. I have a son who's into baseball, not into football. I have another son who's into football, but not into this. You know, like, the reason I bring that up is not just to talk about my kids, but how important is it in sales roles to really know and understand your target market and go in the spots where you're most likely to be able to close and find that audience? Because you and I were just at the National Sports Forum, and we met there, and it was awesome meeting you. And one of the things I was so impressed learning in a lot of these sessions was just how well salespeople can target and understand their audience. How important is that?
I think it's vastly important. And any organization that's been around for a while, that's actually survived and is thriving, they already have a good handle on their target market, right? So when I started with the Chicago Sky, the last people I was gonna call was youth girls basketball teams, because that had already been covered. And so it's all about finding your niche in the market, but obviously understanding your target market, but then the market also touching on the markets that you might not necessarily think are for your organization or that might not come to mind at the start. And the basic one is businesses. If you can be successful selling businesses in sports, you can go anywhere you want, essentially. But you have to focus on businesses, and people focus on talking to the fans. But most of the fans are going to buy anyway, and so in a sales revenue generation role, it's more about the people that are on the fence and who you can actually get to join the team that wouldn't already be buying.
You've worked for multiple organizations now in your career. How important is culture to a thriving workplace? And as a manager now and somebody who is steering a staff through the company experience, what role do you play in trying to establish a strong culture?
I think it's vastly important. You know, I wasn't able to truly answer this 2.5 years ago. I would say that we didn't have the best culture in the organization that I was working for. We brought in a couple new people that really transitioned the organization and showed me what it meant to treat their employees properly. And ultimately, my biggest takeaway from one of my previous employers was that, you know, people don't quit jobs, people quit people. And it starts from the top on down, because others are going to react based on how you interact with them, how you engage with the rest of the team on a daily basis. Luckily, when I came to the Twins, they preached on culture and how great it is and how nobody really wants to leave. And that's one of the things that intrigued me about the organization. So ultimately, when I came here, my goal was not to change the culture at all. My goal is just to complement it. And I think I've been able to do that very well in the years so that I've been here. I didn't mean to change anything, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right, exactly. I got to say, you sound like you'd be a pretty cool guy to work for. We'll finish up with this. I know it's a really busy time in baseball. You are trying to actively get out there and fill up, you know, your stadium and make a lot of great connections in the league and in the community. You've already given us a lot of your time, which I really appreciate. You're 10 years into your career now. Do you still love working in sports? And if so, why? What is it? What is special about working in sports?
How much time do we have left?
Go as long as you want.
because I can go on and on about this. Absolutely still love working in sports. Ultimately to me, and this is something when I try to allure people to this environment, I say I truly believe I have not worked a single day outside of college. And even coming in here when it was -10 degrees this morning, I can honestly walk in with a smile on my face. One of the things I think that motivates me as a coach, as a leader, as a trainer, is when I started out, I didn't have anybody that truly trained me or showed me the right direction. I unfortunately had to learn a lot on my own, and I don't want any of our reps to ever have to go through that. So I want to ensure that they are provided the right insight, the right tools to make them better as not only salespeople, but as professionals, as individuals, and try to get the most growth out of them. So that's really what motivates me and how I get appreciation out of it. When I can see somebody from when I can notate every single person on our team at the different person they are today than when I started a year ago. And that really puts a smile on my face. And there's really, even a bad day at work, you just take a look out in the field and you realize that it's really not that bad of a day.
Yeah, I love your LinkedIn photo. It's like, it's you at the stadium with a huge smile on your face on a sunny day. And I'm like, this is it. This is sports, right? This is what we do it for. It's like the environment is just different than anything else. And there's something to really love about that. Brian, thank you so much. This is awesome. You've shared so much great insight into your role with the Twins and your career and all the things you've gone through. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely, Brian. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you to Brian for coming on the show. I just love all that he was able to share about his experiences in the WNBA and now in baseball, and just how he's approached every step of his career. A lot of great perspective there. Thank you for listening, everyone. Always a pleasure to have on these great guests and bring you all a new perspective and a new way to look at things and some new ideas and some new approaches. So I hope you get as much out of this as I do. I love speaking with all the people that we do, and I love having all of you listen. So please continue to subscribe, share it, review us wherever you listen, and help us grow this audience. Help us keep growing and getting bigger and more powerful. That would be great. I would be forever indebted to all of you. All right, everyone. Time to get back to work.